You're welcome.
Are we good? Are we on? So, you know, I'm a big nerd. And, you know, in our move, I was missing a book. It was in someone's library. And, you know, like you, when you miss a book, you start praying. God, help me find this book. And, well, there was two books, actually, and they found one of them, and I was quite distressed. I couldn't find the other one, and I could buy it, but they're between $140 and $165 each, and it's better to find it. And so they couldn't find it, and so I ordered one, and the next day they said, I found it. So I canceled my order, but just to say that, in families, you fight over inheritances, right? I want that, and, you know, I got dibs on the money, I got dibs on the house, I got dibs on the Mustang, or whatever you got. My kids are going to fight about this. And we were joking the other day with Drew, and Bethany said she wants it. You know, when your house is on fire, you grab your kids and Cranfield, and then you get out, and you've saved everything worth saving when that happens. So it makes me happy to have it. I'm very thankful for it. Thank you, Beth, for bringing it to me. I appreciate it. I want to talk about Acts 15 today, and I'm going to tell you the story of it very briefly. It's quite simple, and what I want to talk about is even more simple. And I don't know if you know Acts chapter 15. I do encourage you as we go through it that during that week, take time to read the chapter we're coming to. So you can read chapter 16 for next week. Pray about it. Ask God what he wants to speak to you from it. And as I'm preparing, the Spirit of God begins to speak to me and simply repeats to me, God makes promises. It's really the essence of life when you think about it, that God makes promises. You know, promises are amazing. And it's not like wishes, you know. A promise, when God makes a promise, it's not just written in stone. It is an absolute reality. And what I want to point us to today is that it was when they realized the promises that God made in his word that the conflict was sorted out. And there were some people who either forgot the promises and really started causing some trouble and distress in the church. So I can't say for sure if they forgot them. Perhaps what's more true is that they saw the promises of God and said, it's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. And so often in our life, God has made promises to us, and the way we look at them, we think to ourselves, that's too good to be true. But what I have come to know and experience about God is that he is far better than I could possibly imagine him to be. Infinitely better. And what we want to look at today is how religion just puts burdens on your heart. Religion weighs you down. And they were wrestling in Acts chapter 15 with what faith in Jesus really meant to people, but how some people wanted to add to it elements of religion. So if you'd allow me to pray today and ask the Spirit of God to speak to your heart and speak to my heart, and I believe He will, we'll pray that God speaks promises to you and that God reminds you of promises that He's made to you. And you return to them and you believe them. And that in believing and seeing the promises of God, He lifts burdens from your heart. He sets your heart free. He produces joy in you that nothing in this world can quench. So, Lord, I pray, Spirit of God, that you breathe promises to hearts today that need to be liberated. I pray that you speak promises today that lift people out of sadness and loneliness and depression and anxiety and deliver people from fear, and that you'd show yourself. You are the promise maker. You are the promise keeper. You make promises and you will do it. And so we surrender our time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So what was happening in Acts chapter 15, I better carry my Bible with me, was that the gospel was really on a profound trajectory around in Judea and Samaria and then up into the areas of Turkey, and the gospel was just spreading. And more non-Jews were having their eyes opened by the living God. And they were seeing Christ. And they were becoming followers of Christ. And they were experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. And as Paul preached and Peter preached and Philip preached, and as the apostles took the word of Christ to people, God went along with them and began to do miraculous things among the people where he was proclaimed. And the blind got sight, and the lame were raised up, and the dead were raised, and the sick were healed. God confirming his word, the truth about who Jesus is, by the power of God in the lives of people. And more Gentiles were seeing, and the Holy Spirit was opening their eyes. He was going beforehand and stirring in them, and then God would send someone to them, Peter or Paul, Barnabas. And I'm just going to stop there for a second and tell you that God is working in the sphere of people in your life, preparing to send you to bring hope and to bring Christ and truth to them. Because the methods of God, while they change throughout time, His purpose of using us in His mission does not change. And so as the gospel was spreading, there were people who were Jewish, particularly Jewish leaders. We call them Pharisees. These were scholars who knew the law, taught the law. But in that calling, God revealed Christ to them, and they joined the church. They joined those who believed. But they saw all these Gentiles coming to Christ. And some of them were so embedded in their religion that they said, oh, this is great that you're coming to Christ, but you need to keep the law of Moses. So I want to point to you in particular in your Bible in Acts chapter 15. First of all, in verse 1, some men from Judea came down and began teaching the brethren, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And then in verse 5, the Pharisees who believed stood up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to tell them to keep the law of Moses. I don't know how you were raised. I don't know what your background is. But it's likely for all of us along our journey with Christ that somebody has taught or it's been put upon us that we need to do in order to please God. That's religion. And it's as prevalent in every facet of the Christian religion as it is in any other religion. But faith, the faith of the Bible, is not religion at all. In fact, it tells you and it tells me clearly, you can't do. You can't. You can't keep. And so the leaders of the church came together to talk about this and to talk about the law. And Peter says something quite profound in verse 10. He says, "Why do you put God to the test?" That's a severe rebuke by a leader. "By placing a yoke upon the neck of our disciples, a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear." Religion burdens the heart. Jesus sets you free. Know that. Know that in your prayer life. Know that in your daily walk with Christ. As you come to understand yourself and you come to read yourself and the disposition of your mind and the ups and downs and the sways of your life, know this, that religion burdens you down. Jesus sets you free. And they were going, Peter's going, we've had this law now 1,470 years, and we could never do it. And there's nothing wrong with the law. What's wrong is what's in my heart. That's why he says earlier in verse 8, God, who knows the heart, gave them evidence of his acceptance of them by giving them the Holy Spirit. And he made no distinction between us and them, between Jews and Gentiles. How? Because he cleansed their heart by faith. Now, we're going to end there today and talk about forgiveness. But what I want you to know today is that the argument was settled when James went to the Word of God. And Peter talks, and Paul talks, and they're listening, and they're debating, and the Pharisees talk. And you know what settles it? When James gets up, and he moves to the front, and he opens the Word of God, and he says, listen. Listen to the promise that God made. After these things, and here, look, listen to all of that God promises. I will return. What's that? That's the coming of Jesus. I will return. I will rebuild the tabernacle. Not the physical one that stood, but the house of God made up of his people. I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins. I will restore it. And the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago. And that's a promise. In fact, there are multiple promises in those verses in Acts chapter 15. And I began to think about the promises of God and began to try and do some research. I started reading through the promises of God, and I stopped counting at about 300. And then I had to do some research because somebody took more time than me to do this. And there are literally one promise for every week of your life if you live to be 100 years old. There are thousands of promises that God makes in His Word. And God makes promises to people. He makes promises about Himself, about what He will do, about how He will act, about how He will respond, about His work in your life. And we'll talk about some of those promises. What I want you to hold in your heart is that God makes promises to you. And that He wants you to experience those promises. And James picks up on this as they're talking about it. And he says, you know, he gives this maybe metaphorical slap in the face. And says, if you just read the Word of God, you'll understand that God has talked about what's happening now with the Gentiles. And until they got to the Word of God, and until they sorted out what God had spoken, they were back and forth and talking, and some are saying this, and some are saying that. And it's when they opened the Word of God, and they found and read the promises of God, that they go, oh, okay, now this makes sense. And everybody was on the same page. You hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing me talk about the Word of God? I want you to hear me say to you, God has filled His Word with promises that He makes to you. And those promises are the source of life. Those promises that He speaks by the Holy Spirit inspires faith in you. Those promises that come to you in the midst of your very circumstances in your life, your uncertainties, your quiet moments, your fears, your thoughts, your anxieties, your depressions, your needs, your distresses, your circumstances, God makes promises to you in the midst of them. And you know what else He does? At just the right time, when you're in need of a particular promise, as you press into Him, as you press into His Word, as you lay your heart bare before Him, He will take a promise and He will speak it to your heart. He says, Helmut, that's for you. Keith, that's for you. He speaks promises. And then you hold on to that. And James said, we're going to hold on to this because anything less than what God has spoken and the promises that He made just adds burdens to the lives of people. And that's not the business we're in. We are in the business of liberty. We are in the business of freedom. The mission, the ministry, the activity, the focus, the goal, the prayer, the desire of Enjoy Life Church is to bring liberty to the hearts of people and to set people free. This is a book of the promises of God. Listen to Isaiah. Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And Jesus, early in His ministry, when He goes to His hometown of Nazareth, they give Him the book of Isaiah, and He flips to Isaiah 61, and He says, this is fulfilled today in your hearing. And listen to what He says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and freedom to prisoners. And Jesus was identifying the essence of the heart of God, that this is what God wants to do with you and what God wants to do with me. And I know as well as you do that coming out of the bondages that we are in takes a lifetime. And how do I know that God's going to finish what He started in me? Well, He made a promise. And that promise is that He sent the Holy Spirit from heaven to live in you. And the Holy Spirit who lives in you is the promise and the guarantee of the promise that what God said He's going to do for you. So, I don't know about you, but to me, that's like, man, the sky's the limit here. It's like there's nothing that can hold me back. And he gives me thousands of promises that are spoken life to me. And he just says, I just want one thing. You. I just want you. I want all of you. All of what makes you, you. That's what I want. But what do? I want you. I just want you. And so Jesus said it in many different ways. But one of the most profound is that God wants you to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And Jesus is just saying, God wants you. And in exchange for you, you'll experience life that you'll never experience in this world. A measure of life, a fullness of life, power in your life, joy in your life, freedom in your life. You'll never find it in this world. And the heart bleeds for people who are, they're kind of holding on to this world, and they're holding on to the promises of God in his word, and they're torn. And they don't experience what God promises to them. Why? Well, God wants you. Let go. Hold on. Cling to him. Take his word into your mind and into your heart. Walk with him through your life. So let's take some time to look at some of the promises of God and some of the things. So I did a search. I did a linguistic search when God says, I will, because that's a promise. And I got to 2,389. And I thought, we don't have time to go through all of them. But I do want you to hear the profound promises of God, and I would pray today that the Holy Spirit would just make it so real in your life about what God has spoken to you, what God says to you, what he wants for you, what he's willing to do for you, and all you have to give him is you and all of you. So if you have your Bible, let's go to Jeremiah 31. And Israel's history with God was not good. They became an apostate people, compromising, syncretistic, immoral, godless, sacrificing their children, practicing the depravity of religions around them. They were not on a good trajectory. And God saw this, and ultimately, God brought them into exile, into Assyria, and then into Babylon. And they were completely overrun. And in the midst of it, right at the throes of their darkest days, this is what God speaks to his people in Jeremiah 31. And I'll read 31 to 34. Behold, the days are... Now, you count how many times God says, I will. Because that's a promise. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. What's he talking? What's that first covenant? It was the covenant of the law at Mount Sinai. There's a new covenant coming. Although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, this is the covenant which I will make after those days with the house of Israel, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them in their heart. If that's you, that sets you apart from everybody else in the world. Because you can't do that. You can't take the law of God and you can memorize it, which many of the Pharisees did. They read it, they studied it, they dissected it, there was their whole life. But you know what? They couldn't write it on their heart. But God says, that's what I'm going to do for you. I will write my law on your heart. I will write it. I will be their God. They will be my people. They will not teach each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. Another promise here, listen, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more. When you come to Christ, when you bring yourself to Christ, he takes your sins, all of them, and he washes you of them. And you are his. And he sets you free. I can't do that. You can't do that. Religion can't do that. But it is the promise of the living God in Christ to take your sins and your iniquities and wash them away and cleanse you. That's why Peter said in Acts chapter 15, where we just read, God cleansed their heart by faith. Promise of God. Let's go to Ezekiel 36, verse 24. And again, count how many I wills there are in this. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from the lands and bring you into your own, and I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I don't know what you do to atone for your sins. It is human nature to try, though. You can be hard on yourself. You can discipline yourself. You can grit your teeth. You can do all kinds of things to try to atone for your sin, but only God can cleanse your heart. And until he does, you're not clean. But when he does, you are clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. Verse 26, I will give you a new heart. You know, I don't know, do you ever say, God, like, what's wrong with me? Or am I the only one that says that when I pray? What in the world is wrong with me? But when you come to Christ, he gives you a new heart. You're not the same person. The very center of your being has been transformed into the likeness of Jesus. You can't do that. Religion can't do that. But God promises you that he will do that. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you, the Holy Spirit. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. If your heart is hard, I will make your heart tender. I will soften you. I will give you a heart of compassion. I will give you a heart of sensitivity. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in all my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. We're looking at the promises of God. Turn to Isaiah 42. It's important for me to tell you to go to your Bible and to read it, in fact, devour it, and find out what the promises of God are. Because you and I will live our lives in mediocrity, in lukewarmness, often in difficulty, in adversity, in all kinds of weakness and struggle, until the Word of God comes to be the voice of God speaking to us constantly. Until we begin to hear that the Holy Spirit is talking to me through the Word of God. And then God makes promises to me, and then I walk into them. And sometimes those promises are 25 years down the road, but I know I'm going to walk into them. And sometimes those promises, God speaks them, and you experience them immediately. And just because you don't give up. Don't give up. So Isaiah 42, beginning of verse 6, I am the Lord. So if you don't remember anything I say, which is fine, it's okay. Remember the references, okay? Just remember where to go to begin to look at some of these things. Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel chapter 36, now we're in Isaiah chapter 42. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. Listen to this. I will hold you by the hand. I will hold you. What's the image there? The image there is Hanuman walking with Annabelle. And there is nothing, well, I might take Annabelle from him, but that metaphor breaks down very quickly. No one. Jesus made specific mention in John chapter 10. You're in my Father's hand, and no one will take you out. And Paul says it differently in Romans 8 when he says, nothing will separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I will hold you by the hand. I will watch over you. I know you go through moments. Maybe you're in a moment or a season now and you feel like God's not with you. He doesn't see you. But it's impossible. Why? Because he made a promise to watch over you. And God does not, ever, cannot, will not ever break his promises to you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people. There's mission again. That was the mission of that Acts 15 church. That's our mission. And from those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Do you understand how I'm telling you that the promises of God are meant to set you totally free? And that freedom is manifest in joy. That freedom is manifest in this life and liberty and energy that comes from the Spirit of God. To open blind eyes, to bring prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Well, you heard that when we read Isaiah 61. Well, God repeats himself a lot of times in the Bible because we're just not that swift. But I want you today not to know it. I want you to believe it in your heart. That whatever prison you're in, or whatever prison somebody has put you in, or whatever prison somebody has taught into your life, or whatever prison experience has imposed on you, I want you to know that you can get out. I want you to know that it is the heart of Jesus to liberate you and to set you free. I was going to go to Isaiah 43 and Isaiah 46. You read them on your own. I want to end today with Isaiah chapter 44. And end where I said I was going to end in verse 25. And God is speaking. And he says, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And your conscience and your memory and history and other people will remember your sins, but when you come to Christ, he will not. He will remove them. And so the psalmist writes in Psalm 103, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our makeup, and he is mindful that we are but dust. Would the musicians come, please? God knows your makeup. My translation used the word frame. And, you know, I worked in framing, and some of you may have worked in framing, and the framing is what gives structure and constitution to the house. God knows how you're built. God knows the things that were built into your life and the experiences that you've had, the traumas that you've had. Do you know God knows your weaknesses? And he knows your temptations, and he knows the quiet thoughts of your mind and your heart. He just knows you completely. And you know what the scriptures tell us? That he has compassion for you. He has compassion because he knows you. Will you stand with me? We're going to sing. Nicole's going to lead us. I'm going to ask you to respond, and Brad's going to encourage you in a moment. I'm offering you cleansing in the name of Jesus today. And because I know Jesus and I know who he is, and our prayer team knows Jesus and they know who he is, they can and they have the authority today to declare to you forgiveness of sins. It is the gift of God by the power of the Holy Spirit that those who serve him, those who know him, can declare to people, your sins are forgiven you. And if you need forgiveness today, if you need cleansing today, you need washing, you need the hope of a conscience washed clear, I'm asking you to respond. You don't need to tell us your sins. You don't need to tell anybody your sins. He knows them. But I'm asking you to come and to find forgiveness and to hear the words from Yulani or Herman or Brad or Candace or Helen. Your sins are forgiven you. You're clean. You're washed. So would you bow with me? I want to just remind us of some promises that God gives us in his word. The Lord says in his word, he says, I will heal you. In fact, one of the names of God is the Lord our healer. God says, I will lead you. You're looking for direction. You're looking. You're uncertain. Maybe your life seems pointless. God promises, I will lead you. He says, I will watch over you. And he says, I will defend you. Even in insurmountable odds, he says, I will defend you because I'm for you. He says, I will protect you. These are all promises clearly laid out in the Word of God. You know what God says? He says, I will answer you. You'll pray and I will answer you. I'll respond to you. I'll speak to your ear. I'll speak to your heart. I'll speak to you. God says, I will bless you. I will bless you. Because God is good, and everything we preach, everything the Word of God has for you is good for you. God says, I will never leave you. If you come to me and you follow Christ and you open your heart to me, I'll never leave you. In time and eternity, I am yours and you're mine. He says, I will help you. You need help? You need strength? God says, I will help you. He says, I will strengthen you. He says, I will hold you and no one will take you out of my hand. So I'm going to ask you today, you need the promise of God in your life. Maybe it's a promise about something you're worried about, something that's kind of preoccupying your mind and your time a lot, and you don't know your way out. Maybe you find yourself in a dry season in your life. Please respond and come and pray with someone. And if you're here, and you don't have forgiveness, if you don't have forgiveness, will you just say these words after me? Jesus, forgive me. Wash my heart from my sin. I'm going to follow you. And so, Lord, as we pray, as we take time to respond to your word that's full of promises, It brought peace to a church that was in conflict. It brought joy to the Gentiles who weren't burdened down with performance and obligation, but just reinforced there's life in the Holy Spirit. There's life in the Word of God. This is good. There's joy. There's freedom. There's liberty, and there's gladness, and there's fellowship, and we're of one heart and one mind. And so, Lord, as we worship you, God, I pray you just touch people to come and to be prayed for and to believe the promises of God for them. So, Holy Spirit, I pray you'd work in our hearts now. In Jesus' name.